Hi everyone, welcome back to the Be More podcast, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce community and beyond. For today's session, we are talking about what it means to be more agile. And I'm joined by Innes. So Innes, are you able to introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Sure. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me. Well, I am Innes Garcia. I was born in Barcelona, but I've been living in the UK for the last 17 years. And I guess in the context of today, to say that I have 25 Salesforce certifications and counting.
Nice.
Because we should always be learning. And I've been in the ecosystem for about 15 years. I'm a Salesforce MVP Hall of Fame. And I also get involved with trillion things, like I publish few books and courses, Agile and Climate Coach, and I contribute to the Scrum Alliance. I'm in the board for the Agile Alliance Sustainability Initiative. I'm part of Pledge 1%, Donut Economics Action Lab, Organization in Action. Like, we can talk about many things.
Yeah.
So I try to get involved with the local community as well, and be an active part of our civic life. It's not just about work. There is more to life.
Yeah, definitely. And really honored to have you here today. And you kind of dip your toes into other areas as well, such as you've got a course on Data Cloud as well, right?
Yeah, actually, thank you for saying that. It was super intense at the beginning of the year. I think for me, one of the things that I've been trying to do is level up the education field so that we have more access, especially to new technologies. So January for me, it was super intense, but I'm very, very happy that that's out in the wild. People are actually getting the certification after the course. So it's really nice to see the fruits of the effort.
Yeah, and you must get a really nice warm feeling inside, you know, when somebody shares, oh, I've just been on your course and I've just passed the exam, right? That feels good.
Yeah, it makes it all worth it. All those long days, all those re-editings, everything, it makes it worth it, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody is so comfortable sort of to put yourself out there. And I do try to make it that feels natural, but, you know, it can be hard at times. So it's nice to see that it is value, because that's at the end of the day why we're doing this sort of things, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's great. So for this session, we're talking about what it means to be more agile. And if you were to try to put that into words and kind of explain that kind of role to our audience, what would you use to describe that?
I guess I am a generalist if I was to choose a role per se. And I like it, like the song. So I kind of like break a little bit the pattern of roles, and, you know, it's good to sort of like disclose this at the beginning, sorry.
Yeah.
So how I like to see the work that I do is essentially to help individuals, to help teams and organizations to deliver better value and reduce waste. And when we tend to think of waste, we normally look at waste of time. But over the years, I've sort of been expanding a little bit, also reducing waste of effort, reduce waste of finances, of materials and energy, which maybe if we have time, we can talk about this a little bit. And essentially to focus on impact in what we do, right? Because our time is perishable. So how can we leave the place? And when I say the place, think about the products that we touch, the people that we involved, and also the planet that we inhabit. And so that in a way that we leave it better than how we found it. So that's sort of the aim.
Okay.
And if we think about Agile, I sort of take placements as an Agile coach, as a Scrum Master, project delivery lead, architect, like the like, right? So I do training, I do learning and development, change management, adoption, solutions delivery, admin, design, I mean, you name it. And the thing is, with Salesforce, it's so broad, right? So I may be doing work with core or sales or service, including omnichannel, bots, experience cloud, marketing cloud, part of it. I come from communication background, so normally communication-related stuff triggers my interest. nonprofit. I'm just finishing up one nonprofit cloud implementation. So both the cloud and the pack, talk about integrations, talk about net zero cloud, right? So that aligns yeah. really well with sort of my interest and my purpose. So you name it. And yeah, so I don't know, would you like me to like maybe go a little bit more around how Agile aligns with other roles or?
Yeah, so maybe, I guess, how does being Agile touch different roles within the ecosystem? And I guess, what qualities or attributes does it take to be more Agile?
I think you do have roles per se that are very aligned with Agile way of looking at the world. Yeah. As I mentioned, Agile coach, Scrum Master, you have some lean delivery and other sort of Kanban related ones. And essentially, there is a high value of having someone or sometimes more than one person sort of focus on that. It will really depends of what is the size and the scale that you're looking at. So having somebody sort of appointed on becoming more Agile, it comes really handy because the reason is when we are on the weeds on delivery, yeah. We really get focused on the pickles, the intricacies, especially in the Salesforce world. Sometimes you just need to go through to be like, ah, this doesn't work like this. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. So when we get so close to the details, we sort of struggle to make space to see the how. So as an Agile coach, essentially you are there to help the team, the organization, even the product about the how we evolve things. How do we do things? It's not about just the what do we do, but how do we do it? Are we getting better at what we do? I think that's a question that anybody could be asking as a team often enough. So sometimes I take placement, for example, that something's gone off on a marketing platform, let's say. So I go in, sort of yeah. unravel the spaghetti design that may be there.
Yeah.
And then soon after, when that pickle it gets out of the way, my aim is to sort of upskill the team so they can handle that sort of stuff. Then I try to move into a slightly more strategic way of the use of the application because we tend to use it in a very narrow use cases. And those things can be applied to many other things. So that's sort of like the light that I like to look at. And then moving into our human systems design, right? So how departments talk to each other, for example. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so for example, last year, I was working on a startup, quite recent, like decent size, because they were on a turnover of about 1.5 million, and that's quite nice being a yeah. startup.
Right? Yeah.
So I helped with the architecture because that was really nice. It was completely blank canvas, and it's very rare to get a project that is like that. So it's very nice mm-hmm. Moment, but you know, the sky is the limit is how can you help yourself to deliver value sooner? And so see how the market behaves. So then we moved to, of course, Salesforce was involved at some point, just a little bit of core development, then move into more sort of program delivery, sort of agile practices around the team. Then for a little bit of the implementation, I was like really head on delivering myself experience cloud at the same time. And when, you know, it's quite tough when you are really holding both fronts at the same time, you are really into the intricacies of the what, and at the same time, you are trying to see the bigger picture and sort of evolve that human systems cooperation and behavioral side of things. So it's very difficult to be agnostic of the both when you are just really into one part of the thing. So it's quite nice to be able to have somebody else that help those sort of motions, I suppose, not just about the product in itself. Because again, if we don't become better at what we do, we're not really becoming more agile.
Yeah. Okay. And throughout a project like that, how important do you think the role of the typical agile ceremonies are in kind of holding the team together, making sure people are accountable, and that responsibility is kind of being shared?
Yeah, so great question. Forever discussion. Yeah. I suppose that Agile per se doesn't really necessarily have ceremonies. You have some frameworks that helps you to elevate some of the concepts from principles to tangible things that you do. And one of the ones that I see more often looked at in the Salesforce arena is Scrum as a framework. So you will, at the beginning of a sprint or a cycle, you will come together as a team, you will look what we're achieving this week, and then you sort of like break it down and stuff. So those touch points in the sprint, in the cycle, are very helpful to get into a rhythm. Scrum is so easy to understand, but it's extremely difficult to master. It's very, very, very difficult to, it's very easy to fall into the motions without the emotions. I call it zombie Scrum. You literally go through it without really going deep enough of why are we talking on this right now. And unfortunately, the principle 12 of Agile Manifesto is about tuning and adapting, pausing and reflecting often enough. And that, unfortunately, is the first thing we seem to drop. And I think it's because Agile is hard. It's hard to be in a professional setting and really open up and introspect. What happens? What did we set ourselves to do? What actually happened and what didn't go well and how are we going to fix it? And what's working well and how can we replicate it, right? So those conversations are not easy and it's very easy to fall into complacency. So those ceremonies and rhythms are very helpful, but it's important to go deep enough and have somebody to help you facilitate. So actually you surface sometimes elephants in the room or many other things that are not spoken, but they are present.
Okay. And I guess kind of leaning into a little bit of what you said there, being emotionally present is important as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, we as humans, we like to conceptualize things and group them into boundaries, but they don't necessarily mean they work by themselves. So cognitive and emotions are the same. It doesn't necessarily need to be separate things. And if you don't account for these other things that we are as beings, well, you're missing part of the picture.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe that's difficult in some situations kind of more than others. Like, for example, if you're running a retrospective and there are things that didn't go wrong, it's kind of hard to kind of guard your emotions if perhaps you were responsible for some of those things, right?
Yeah, and we care, right? Also, I guess it's important. I like to say that the work that we do is creative. Essentially, we take thoughts and ideas and we invent stuff and transform them in something visual. Like, we are creators and we shouldn't forget this layer of what we do, right? We all inventors. And so that means that we have a layer of investment into something that it makes us feel very attached, and it's very difficult to get detached of our own ideas. So having a level of understanding that this is a natural feeling, it helps you to pass through some basic layer of conversation to understand, okay, this is where we sit and that's okay. Can we look at the problem together rather than looking at each other as the problem?
Yeah, and kind of helping to learn and evolve past it, so in the future you don't have the same challenges, right? That's part of it. Like you said at the beginning, you're always learning. I think that kind of really leans into this way of thinking, right?
And if we become better at what we do, right, are we becoming better at what we do? That includes how we evolve our own practices, how we architect our own solutions, how reusable and decoupled our architectures are. So it has a lot of flavors. It doesn't have to stay just at the emotional level.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so thinking about this, if you were kind of putting yourself into the shoes of somebody that's listening to this and perhaps wants to become more agile themselves, what tips, advice would you give to somebody kind of looking to start on their journey?
So I'll repeat a little bit something. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I think it's very easy to understand. And when you, if any of the viewers haven't looked at the Agile Manifesto, just go, it's free, agilemanifesto.org, read it. It really feels like, but that should be the normal behavior of what we do. There you go. So super easy to understand, but very difficult to master. And Agile, it comes with a lot of baggage and a lot of misconceptions. And one needs to let go of the false sense of control on what traditional project management has been repeating, all this narrative for decades, and looking at people as resources, right? As cog in the machine.
Yeah.
And those metaphors are very inaccurate. They are very unnatural. Our body is not a watch, right? Mm-hmm. It's a macro interdependent ecosystem. So before I sort of divert too much and stuff like that, to say that if you are how do you know if that may be a line of work for you? I'll probably ask myself questions like, are you interested on system thinking? Are you interested on behavioral science, right? The meta layer of our interactions, on complexity studies? Maybe how about natural patterns and our natural governing laws? Are you interested in how to lift people and increase the joy at work, thriving at finding value and resist what doesn't? Does that come naturally? Maybe you help teams, so sort of geared towards how can we focus on our impact rather than the outcomes per se? Are those conversations something that you enjoy and feel brave and courage to do them? Then maybe Agile roles maybe suit nicely. I'll probably also say that try to get certified beyond the entry points.
Mm-hmm.
And get a lot of practice, because it's the best way to learn. And it's really hard, because you're going to need to really introspect right at the center of how you behave. And that's not easy and doesn't always feel very comfortable. I guess the other thing, especially in this year, probably to advise, is that with any job switch, I always advise to my mentees, just don't quit your job, right?
Yeah.
Get a certification and then expect that a job just going to come to you, because it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. And it's becoming more and more difficult as, for example, especially in the Salesforce world, there is a lot of skill and very experienced professional, right, around for more than 20 years. And with the prospects that we have in 2024, the job market ain't great, so please don't just quit. Don't quit. So also understand that you don't have to start from scratch either. And I find often that we sort of trying to get into the Salesforce world, we look at the answers elsewhere. Hold on a second. The answers are within.
Mm-hmm.
The ecosystem is very broad, and there's space for everyone. Right? So what is your previous experience? What are the different things that you are passionate about, that you are unique, that you have as individual a value that can bring to organization, to your probably current organization, that no one else can? So sort of like working through some of that is going to surface different potential paths for you to start poking before you quit. Please just don't quit.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great advice. And perhaps now reflecting on your own journey a little bit, if you were to start out on this kind of path to becoming more agile yourself again, and you had the opportunity to do anything differently, would you change anything or do anything differently?
Yes. I'd probably say less and listen more. I come from sort of project delivery and management and stuff like that. So telling people what to do and the switch is really hard, especially after a Scrum Master certification. One thinks, yeah, I get it. This makes sense. You lot follow me and this is how you do it.
Yeah.
But remember, it's easy to understand, difficult to master. So probably I'll say to myself, spend more time with the Agile Manifesto as guiding principles. When confronted with a challenge, go there, have a look, just take pause for 3 minutes to help you to make decisions with the teams rather than bash things into other people. Yeah. It never works well. You can't force people to do things. No. It never works well. And ask difficult questions, including that's never too late. So sometimes you leave a meeting, I should have asked this. So, I should have pushed that way. And that's okay. Don't feel that because it didn't happen on the optimal time, that may or may not be the optimal time, doesn't mean that you have to let go. You can go through those things again, right? You can ask those difficult questions again. You can say thank you, even that is after the fact. You can say sorry, even that is after the fact. Sometimes we get hold of like, what if I did? You can still do it. So, and I guess talking about the manifesto and all of that, if I may, if there are any listeners interested around sustainability, we actually launched a manifesto, the Agile Sustainability Manifesto, which is free. I can give you the link later for the show notes, which is essentially very inspired in the Agile Manifesto. And sort of we lift up including sustainability as part of the decision matrix. So we released it last year, and I thought maybe that's also an interesting one to look at as Salesforce professionals. How do we embed sustainability with what we do in terms of consumption of energy, of materials, of how we treat each other and stuff like that?
Yeah. Okay. I'll be sure to add that into the show notes afterwards. So thanks for that. I think that sounds like a great resource. So if you were kind of thinking about it as skills or attributes it takes to think in more of an agile way, are there particular like personality traits, soft skills that help kind of lean into this? I think we've already touched on kind of being emotionally kind of available and present. Is there anything else that kind of helps?
Soft skills are hard. Yeah. How many days do we have to record this interview?
Yeah, not many days. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think inquisitiveness is very good, right? Like being curious is very important. And that's also something that it will be innate. You just need to give yourself permission. I don't think it's something that you have or you don't have. Is that something that you practice or you're not yet practiced? I mentioned sort of system thinking. So how do you do thinking in systems? And actually there is a book really nice from Donella Meadows, Thinking in Systems, I will highly recommend. Facilitation skills, that's something that you can learn if you don't have. Change management is really important. Training and mentoring and how you move across those things. When you make the decision of you're going to put the training hat versus the mentoring hat versus the coaching hat, right? And then for me, technical skills, I find them useful. Not to spill out the solutions to the team, but to be at the back of my mind because they're going to help me poke. And in all honesty, I really enjoy playing with technology and I try to have very diverse sort of contract roles because I think it's very easy to get alienated if you don't touch the technology and it's very hard to be up to date if you don't do it. So I think, yeah. So that's sort of why I think technical skills are important. And Uncle Bob or Robert Martin from Clean Architecture always says that as a software architect, you are a programmer, right? And you continue being a programmer because you need to be close to beyond the higher level issues. And it's very easy sort of to get alienated if you don't. And I empathize with this sort of pattern of thinking, especially in the Salesforce world, because sometimes you think, oh, we're going to go that route. But sometimes you need to go to the attempt of the route to realize that there are some considerations and some limitations, and you can do it that way, and you need to do it the other way. So anyway, that is probably the list.
Okay. And do you think courage is an important kind of personality trait as well, like courage to embrace or have those difficult conversations? Do you think that's part of it too?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you for raising that. And I guess I like to think of courage as well, something that like a muscle you practice so you become more comfortable. Same with curiosity, right? So you need courage to be curious sometimes. So those things go hand in hand. So, certainly. And I mean, we can talk about being honest as well. That always works so much better in projects when you say you don't know, you need to check, and that's okay. You cannot know everything, so honesty I think is very important, and you forge those relationships, right? Customer relationship management, everyone.
Exactly, because trust is important, and by being honest you build trust, and ultimately the client then trusts you. Even if you have to go away and find the answer, that's absolutely fine. But as you say, you can't know it all. You can be technically competent and still not know the answer to a particular thing. That's absolutely fine. And ultimately with trust, those relationships grow and the project is more successful, right? Okay, so now's your opportunity to demyth or clarify maybe a common misconception about being more agile. Like, is there a myth or something about being agile that is just isn't true, or maybe something that people think of about being agile that's like a misconception when you mention it to somebody for the first time? Is there anything in that kind of area that you'd like to clarify for our audience?
Yeah, and actually maybe a good opportunity for me to explain what is agile. We've been speaking about agile, haven't really gone to it. So I think of it as a way for us to increase predictability and control risk. And that's because our environment fluctuates. That's the products that we use and the technology, underlying technology. I mean, you Salesforceans know it changes very, very rapidly, but also markets and then many other external factors. We were reminded recently as well, like suddenly things need to switch really quickly. So that's one. So aside of asking to your team, are we becoming better at what we do? Ask yourself, are we increasing the predictability of what we do? And how are we reducing risk? If not, then you need to look. Are you really becoming more agile? Also, agile is not about requirements gathering phase or deployment phase, nor documentation days. Okay, so it's about delivering value sooner, safer, happier. Sooner, safer, happier. Are you doing Salesforce sooner, safer, happier? If not, then you are not very agile. And is this concept really about tuning and adjusting as you go? Because remember that at the beginning of the project is the moment of time when you are going to know the least that you're ever going to know about the project. And that's a fact. Mm-hmm. Also, that the only certain about estimates is that estimates are always wrong. Otherwise they will be called actuals, right? So let's be more humble. We can't know everything. That product teams, markets fluctuate. How we are attuned and adaptive at what we're doing at our hour ever adapting changing conditions, that is what wins.
Okay, awesome, thanks for that. So we are kind of bringing today's session to a close a little bit, but before we do go, what's a way for people to connect with you? And maybe are there any more resources or particular pieces of content that you think could help people be more agile?
Yes, there is tons of info out there. I mean, I guess if you want to connect or if you want to just check out the portfolio and the million things I get into, just go to inesgarcia.me. And just find out some of the adventures over there. Yeah. Another one is that you can go to tiny.cc/agile and check out. I published a book about Agile Salesforce, literally that. And my aim was to sort of like demystify what Agile was about, break it down with real stories of teams that I work with. Some stories are wonderful and we can learn a lot from them. Some stories didn't go as nice, but we can also learn from them, right? Plenty of tips, things for you to try out with your team. You don't have to be like, oh, we're going to be agile. Sometimes don't say agile at all and just put some things there. It's the best way to go.
Yeah.
So check that out. That was a big moment for me to sort of, you know, me being from Barcelona, publishing a book in English, is I put a lot of love into that. So it's tell me how it goes. And then also, as you mentioned, and I can give you a link as well for a discount code, I published this Data Cloud course, again, with the aim to sort of level up the playing field in education. Everybody can learn this new technology and just get certified. That's my aim. I want to see more Data Cloud certified.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's an ambitious aim, but definitely appreciate what you're doing there, and as you say, trying to level out the playing field and make it accessible to everybody, right?
Yeah, that's the aim. And well, you know, if you want to learn about growing your own food, you can talk to me about permaculture. I also part of a coalition, we call it the Coalition of the Willing, we launched last year, and essentially we bring in this intersection of agile and sustainability together. So it's a program of 4 weeks with other freelancers, and it's moving people from this theoretical agreement of we have to do something and crossing the bridge to actual tangible action. I think that's where we lose most of the people, right? You know that something needs to be done, but how you tangibly do it at work every day is where we lose people and we don't have time to lose. So
yeah,
that's the aim with that as well. But yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, I think there's a lot of resources and things for people to read up on after this episode. So thanks again for those. And again, thanks for your time today. And hopefully we will inspire some more people to explore this path themselves and perhaps become more agile. So thanks again.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments